Hello there, this is Larry Musser, and I, amongst other things, played Police Chief Jack Bonsant on a Stephen King-written episode of X-Files called Chinga. And you're listening to this amazing X-Cast podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and our Season 10 coverage is continuing with our second episode featuring Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster, which is the wonderful Darren Morgan comedy episode halfway through the run. And this time, we're going to be talking about the man himself, Darren Morgan, what makes his episode particularly special, and his writing particularly special, and even more fun, all the little Easter eggs to the X-Files and the show and the his episodes past that we've picked up and that fans have picked up, because there are loads. So this is going to be quite fun. I'm joined again by Andrew Brooker.
Oh.
Welcome back. We're going to start, though, with a little bit more of a negative, of a downer, I'm afraid, because we actually have somebody who didn't really like this one,
really?
Believe it or not. We do, and we know him quite well. Paul Field at Pathster said today, in response to the this episode, he said, didn't like it at all. This is on Twitter. We binned it off, way too goofy. Series has gone great, average to awful in three episodes.
Ah, Paul. Paul, I love you, dude. I truly do, but you're wrong.
The thing is that you pretty much took the words out of my mouth there, right? Very, very esteemed guy, Paul. Knows his stuff. And he really loved My Struggle, because we talked about it, as we say, we emailed about this straight after. He loved that episode. He told me before I'd watched it, he said he watched it and it was brilliant. But yeah, how could you not like this, Paul? Why?
I get the feeling, and dude, if I'm wrong, please tell me, because I might have got the wrong end of the stick, but I'm almost certain Paul said he wasn't that big a fan back in the day. I wonder if maybe he didn't quite get the point of the episode.
Do you think?
Possibly. Because it's very much a one for the fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter which way you cut it. Okay, so, like, the wife isn't really a fan, but she sat and enjoyed the episode and giggled through it like you should have done. Yeah. But, you know, it's one for people like you and me to sit and watch and enjoy and just be, yeah, this is, yeah, we're watching the X-Files again. This is great. It's an X-Files fans episode, I think.
I think there is some truth to that, you know. But this is the thing, Paul, from what I know, he's quite a big X-Files fan. He watched it back in the day. But yeah, if you're not one for the Darren Morgan comedies, then this really isn't going to be for you, to be fair. And so I understand it from that perspective. If you never liked what Darren Morgan does, then you're just really going to tune out of this. But it just surprises me, though, that there are people who don't like what he does. It just shocks me. And, you know, fair play to anyone with that opinion, you know, and I respect that. But I do really think it's a shame. And I just wish you could love it like we did, because...
Yeah.
Darren Morgan, let's talk about him a little bit. He's just a very different writer to anyone who's ever written for the X-Files. You know, you did have people who had a go at comedy. You had, you know, memorably, the one episode, I think, of the series that came close to Darren Morgan and possibly equaled him was Bad Blood by Vince Gilligan, which I think was brilliant. And it's Gillian Anderson's favourite episode, incidentally. I love Bad Blood because it was hilarious all the way through. Brilliant take on the vampire myth. I just thought it just makes me laugh. It's one of the best, you know, as Mulder singing Shaft. I mean, what more do you need? But as that pretty much probably equaled him. But every other time they've tried to do comedy, it's been good most of the time, but it's never quite equaled Darren Morgan. What is it about him that makes him so special?
I think it's because he knows his audience very well. He knows what we expect as X-Files fans, but also knows how to roll that into comedy as well, which I think is a hard thing to do. And, you know, Vince Gilligan, he's a spectacular writer, but let's be fair, comedy's not his strong suit. You know, he wrote some amazing X-Files episodes, and obviously he's gone on and done Breaking Bad, but let's be fair, Breaking Bad ain't a comedy.
It's true.
In any way, shape or form. You know, it's not to take anything away from Gilligan. He's a great writer, but, you know, Darren Morgan, he knows how to write great comedy, and he knows the X-Files and its fan base.
Yeah. And I think what it is it's this kind of instinctual, and I said this in my written review, which again to Shiel, you can find on the bottleepisode.co.uk. I'm writing episode reviews pretty fast of the entire miniseries. But I think I put in my review that Darren Morgan, he kind of has a certain style where it's not spoof, but it's kind of self-aware, knowing parody that has a certain sweetness to it, I think. All of his episodes, they have that kind of sadness, that sad sweetness to them, and as well as being really witty and absurd. Absurdity is the other, farcical as well. He's a big lover of farce. But he manages to blend that all into this concoction that has, you know, dark and twisted and strange moments, but they're always through the lens of somebody who is quite often a bit of a sad case. You know, if you look back at the episodes he did, there was Humbug, which was season two, which was about the misfits of the circuses.
Oh, the carnival like one, wasn't it?
The carnival one, which was basically his version of Freaks, the 1930s Todd Browning film, the infamous one. Which had some really, really wacky, bizarre characters, like the conundrum. Do you remember the guy painted blue with puzzles who used to eat fish?
Used to eat fish, yeah.
And the Dr. Blockhead, which was his the guy who is with him and everything, and Mr. Nutt, the Michael Anderson from Twin Peaks, and all these characters, and Vincent Chiavelli as Lenny. And it's his conjoined twin, isn't it, that he's doing the killing. It's lots of things like that. But Lenny, very sad character, you know, a bit of a drunk and, you know, just loves his weird, twisted brother. And then you've got Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, which is probably Darren Morgan's finest hour of anything, really.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great episode, but it's so dark at points, isn't it?
It's really. It's probably the darkest one he did, actually. But it's beautifully written. I mean, Peter Boyle, I think, if he didn't win an Emmy, he got nominated for an Emmy for his guest appearance there as Clyde Bruckman, and he was amazing. And it was just really, but again, very dark, twisted, quite chilling in places. But again, Clyde Bruckman was a really sad character of this psychic who could see his own death and character's death. And then you had War of the Cofferages, which was a much more of a mad sort of take on B-movie invasion pictures, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But brilliant.
I enjoyed Cofferages. Cofferages was a great episode. I don't know. I can't think. I'd have to go back and look at a list. I can't think of any Darren Morgan episodes I didn't like. And he does, you know, like you say, he does some beautiful writing. But when he makes them funny, when he writes comedy, he does it so well and knows how to fit it into this world that's not supposed to really be funny.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
you know, it's not supposed to be a world where you can get that level of comedy out of it. Especially things like, you know, Carl Bruckman. I mean, Jesus, is this a dude that tells people how you're going to die? You're not supposed to be able to get that level of entertainment out of an episode like that.
No, exactly. Yeah, and the killer in it is a bit really weird and twisted as well in that one. And it's but he did manage to blend all these different styles. You know, like I say, you had Cofferages, which had some real gold little comedy in it. You know, I still love the fact that when the excrement factory blows up at the end, Mulder just says, crap, as he's just been rained on. And then, of course, you know what a lot of people would also consider probably his finest hour, which is Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
Oh, I love that one.
Which is probably my favorite Darren Morgan, even though I would argue Clyde Bruckman is probably the better script. I think Jose Chung is my favorite because it's just a wonderful send up of the mythology and UFOs. And you know, there's been quite a few people when I've asked them the five questions of X for this who've said Jose Chung as their favorite episode.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that.
But it's got that thing again, hasn't it? Yeah, Darren Morgan is very, very self-aware and knows what he's writing.
Yeah.
And knows the audience he's writing for. And everything about Jose Chung is just, it's perfect for satirizing its own TV show.
Yeah. I must say as well, don't forget that Darren Morgan did write two episodes of Millennium. Yes, he wrote Jose Chung's Doomsday Defense, which is a sequel to Jose Chung's From Outer Space in many respects. And also, Somehow Satan Got Behind Me, which is a brilliant little twisted story about four demons. it's hilarious. So don't forget those. I mean, and we will get Cover Millennium in the X-Cast, hopefully, going forward. And I'm looking forward to getting to those. But yeah, always remember that Darren Morgan did do two, so don't, because they're equally as good. But yeah, he's always managed to put a different lens on this. And I think with this one, he manages to, again, update Mulder and Scully, as we've talked about, and tell the story of a character who is, again, another bit of a sad case. Again, every single time, it's always about somebody who is a bit lost or a bit lonely, or, you know, and he can play that comedy through, or is a bit eccentric. And with the character of Guy Mann, played brilliantly by Rhys Darby, he does that, doesn't he?
He does. And I think he hits the nail on the head, really, doesn't he? Where he says, you know, Guy Mann himself says, you know, this isn't funny, this is tragic, and it's my life. You know, and it really is. The poor guy's tragic story, but it's, you know, we're all sitting laughing at him because the poor bastard, it's funny. But yeah, it's a really tragic episode for this guy, isn't it?
But yeah, and we'll talk more in depth about Guy Mann in the next episode, but it is, and that's what he does. He has this kind of tragicomedy, sort of absurd, farcical whimsy, and no one else can quite capture it like Darren Morgan, and no one else can bring out the comic aspects of Mulder and Scully and still make something a bit strange and freaky. It's just unusual for anyone, and I always think it's a bit of a crying shame that Darren Morgan has not done a lot more, because really, if you think about it, he hasn't written anything I can note for 20 years.
No.
And it's terrible, because he's like one of the greatest comic writers I've ever seen on TV. And it's like, where has he been?
You know, he feels like he needs his own little black comedy to make.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Like in Bruges levels of dark comedy. Yeah. I think he'd do really well with something like that.
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would. It's just, somebody just give him a show. Please, do it. Obviously, one of the big things he does is pepper this episode with loads of winks and in-jokes to the past, and to especially his previous episodes. I took notes while I was watching it. You've taken some notes as well, haven't you, Andrew? Do you want to run through some of the ones that you picked up on?
So, the ones I've got. Okay, so the obvious one, I think we mentioned it in a previous episode. We're talking about her dog.
Yes. So
Queequeg.
Queequeg.
Is one of the sailors from Moby Dick, isn't it?
Yep.
So the Guy Mann's dog is Dagoo.
Yeah.
Who's also a sailor from Moby Dick.
Yeah. That was very clever. That was very clever.
I'm sad to say that I only recently read most of Moby Dick for a review I had to write because I wasn't sure of the story. And yeah, the book sucks. But sadly, I picked up on that because I'd only recently read it.
You don't hear many, very, very many reviews of Moby Dick that it sucks. That's a new
one. Well, I reviewed In the Heart of the Sea.
Oh, dear.
Which is the film of the story that inspired the book of Moby Dick.
Yes.
Bollocks.
That's going on the poster.
Pretty much my only review. I managed to spread its bollocks out to about 700 words. Just don't watch it. It's crap. Anyway. So obviously we've got, because I mentioned this when I was watching, it's a title. Tyler Labine, and I can't remember the other woman's name.
Nicole Parker Smith.
Nicole Parker, there you go. So they're both stoners in this.
Yeah.
And they were stoners in both Quagmire and, holy crap, I've forgotten the other episode.
It's Coffridges.
Coffridges, yeah, War of the Coffridges.
Because they were originally one of three, and the other kid dies in, I think, Coffridges, and then those two crop up again in Quagmire together.
Yeah, and then they're both here.
Yeah.
For this one.
I was so happy when I saw them in the teaser. I was like, oh my God, it's the stoners.
With the stupidest grin on my face.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. But I can't believe they brought these guys back.
I know. Amazing. So good. So good.
I mean, there's a couple of little ones. I don't know if this was actually done on purpose, or maybe I'm looking a bit too much into it, but you got the image of Mulder in the bed in his red pants.
Yeah.
Which was from the Dwayne Barry episode?
That's right, yeah. That is intentional, I think. Yep, definitely. Which is just a really weird callback.
I hope it's intentional. Otherwise, you know, that's just wrong.
Weird, yeah.
Obviously, you've got him, you know, we've got the I Want to Believe at the end of the episode, which we've mentioned previously.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the ones that actually made me laugh was when he finds the corridor in between the rooms. And he looks through the eyes of a fox.
Yes.
Which made me laugh.
And it's great.
It wasn't until I watched it a second time this evening that I realised there was actually a fox he was looking through.
Is there a fox? Brilliant, yeah.
And then you got the two big ones. You got the two gravestones.
Yes.
So the one for Kim Manners, who everyone knows who Kim Manners was. He was prominent throughout the entire X-Files.
He was the great director, really, of the show.
Yeah. and Jack Hardy, who was, I believe he was a second unit director or an assistant director on the first film.
Yeah, he was a first AD on I Want to Believe, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I Want to Believe. Sorry, not the first film, second one, yeah. And obviously, you know, the little quote on Kim Manners' gravestone was, let's kick it in the ass, which apparently he said a lot.
He did, yeah. I love the bit, actually, where you see Mulder put the flowers next to the grave and sort of touch it a little bit. Because it's obviously totally their little rest in peace to Kim Manners. But
yeah,
it's almost like Mulder knows who he is, which I thought was lovely.
He's very close to the fourth wall breaking, kind of.
Very.
I think it does go into this, you know, this is really, it's absolutely one for fans, for people like you and me, you know.
Yeah.
I said Kim Manners to the wife and she went, who?
Who? Yeah, exactly.
Of course she's going to say who, because she hasn't sat and watched the 201 episodes 7 or 8 times since it finished.
Yeah, the 100-odd that he actually directed, because I think he directed probably about half of them in the end.
Absolutely. You know, he directed loads. He wrote even more. You know, the guy, he was the prominent director for the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Be there, I think, was amazing. And I do think it fits into this whole overarching theory of, well, if you're not a fan, you probably, a lot of it will possibly be lost on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously the really obvious one, Mulder's got the X-Files theme of his ringtone.
That is the cheekiest one that they've ever done.
The first time I watched it, I said, well, you're fucking kidding me.
I know. I couldn't quite believe that one. They just about get away with that.
I think if they'd have done it more than once, I think it would have been a problem. But this time around, it's only on the screen long enough for people to go, wait, what? Wait,
hang on. Do you know what it reminded me of? And I don't know how much of a Bond fan you are, but it reminded me of the bit in Octopussy where the Snake Charmer's playing the Bond theme.
Yeah.
I've always loved that, so I will love this ringtone thing forevermore now.
Yeah, the little in-jokes like that, I think... See, it's those little in-jokes that get people that don't watch too many episodes or don't know it as well as you or I do.
Yeah.
You know? It's things like that for... And bless her, she's going to start throwing things at me because she's literally sat right next to me as I keep abusing my wife for not being an X-Files fan. So, you know... But it's for people like my wife who don't get the in-jokes. Mm. But stuff like that, really obvious. And obviously, I think... Poor Paul. I think if he'd have gotten to that point and gone, okay, maybe I understand this now.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I get the point now. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that was all of mine. Yeah, I didn't write that many. I thought I wrote more.
I got the same ones you did. You got a couple more actually than me, to be fair. But there's one or two more that I've found on the wiki that are interesting. Guy Mann's outfit resembles that of Carl Kolchak from Kolchak the Night Stalker. And he really does actually, if you look at it. Very, very Kolchak, which is, of course, Kolchak was the inspiration for the X-Files. So look that up. Scully says that she's immortal as well, which is the other big one. Which obviously is a reference to the fact that it's a little wonderful little line that has kept people curious for absolutely years. And we mentioned it in My Struggle, actually, one of the episodes with Tanya, is that when Scully asks Clyde Bruckman in Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, how do I die? And he says, you don't. And it's always been a little weird, little. She looks at him, and nothing ever is ever more said of it. But for years and years and years in fan circles, it's been, well, what did that mean? Because he could have seen everyone's death. So what? And obviously now the whole idea of Scully having alien DNA and it being explicitly mentioned by her, even in jokey passing, means that I suspect that they're making a point of this now, and it could actually end up factoring into the mythology.
But is it possible? Do you think that they're making a point of it? Oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to use these words, just to troll its fan base.
But it could be, very much.
It's been one of those things, hasn't it, that we've all talked about for years. You know, Scully's immortal. We all know Scully's immortal. You know, Clyde Bruckman said so.
Yeah.
But it's never, outside of that episode, it's never really been talked about. So while I kind of hope that it is going to come up and maybe she is immortal, or at least it will, you know, it'll be explained a bit more, I do think that there's this little bit going, we're being screwed with. Because it only takes a little line like that, doesn't it, to get the old fan forums exploding in theories.
Going mental. Yeah, exactly. The other one was, there was another couple. The guy who runs the motel is Alex Diakun, who appeared in a lot of the original Darren Morgan episodes. He was in Humbug. He was in, I believe he was in Jose Chung. He's one of those who cropped up quite a lot in the original series. And when I saw him, I went, ah, it's Alex Diakun. So I was quite happy with.
That was the other one I spotted. When Mulder's talking to the doctor.
Yeah.
Talking about the monsters in your head or in your heart. Mm. And then points to his stomach and goes, or here.
Yeah.
That's absolute, well, I hope it is. It's absolutely a crap. We were just talking about
a reference to Humbug.
Humbug.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. To Leonard, the conjoined twin. Like, yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's on the wiki here, definitely. So there's a very good chance. Yeah, the only other one is the pencils that Mulder throws into the I Want to Believe poster, which are the same pencils that he throws up on the ceiling in Chinga in season 5, and we saw them in My Struggle still on the ceiling. He also does say, when he's talking to the doctor about how he wants to die, which is Mulder, when he says, I'd like to be nude and be mauled by a wolf, lion and bear. And that's, I think, a little wink to, again, Clyde Bruckman, who told him he'd die of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Just one of the best lines ever. So, yeah, I've never known an episode more packed with in-jokes and winks. And it's so wonderful to be able to sit there and go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Perfect episode to do it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You couldn't do it on a normal mythology episode. And you couldn't, when 24 came back, you couldn't put all those hints into a 24 episode. It would have been fucking stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the perfect, Darren Morgan episode is the perfect episode for something like that.
And it works so well. It really does.
But only Darren Morgan could have written it.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Nobody else could have done. He is a unique individual. But yeah, go back and watch it again and look for, if you didn't pick up on any of those or all of those, look for them, because you'll get even more out of this episode if you do. So yeah, we'll be back for one final look at this episode. And we'll be looking in more detail at Guy Mann, aka the Weir Monster himself, in our final little look. And Andrew will be back for that, won't you?
I certainly will.
Excellent. We will see you then. And remember, until next time, trust no one.